gentlemen, buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into another post-race reaction edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. That is correct. As usual, EG3 in the building. Eddie Greer III for another edition tonight of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, talking about the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And I just said moments ago, tonight on this first Tuesday of April, April 2nd, 2019, this is the post-race reaction edition of Texas here tonight. And of course, Big D just walked in here to the EG3 garage area. We're about to do some business all Texas tonight, and on the back end of tonight's episode, we'll preview a little bit about Bristol, but let's just get right on down into business. So much content on the list, on the rundown sheet to go over, and obviously, we're going to start where it's been a common theme here in 2019, Kyle Busch winning again. And kind of a spoiler alert, which is put it out there right now, he won two of the three races over the weekend, and it began in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, where he scored yet another victory in that series. That's four straight since Austin Hill, obviously a Gander Outdoor Truck Series regular, won the season opener at Daytona. You got to go back all the way back 2 months, folks, that a regular in the Truck Series and won an actual race. Austin Hill did that back in February, obviously, and you know, the truckers, they better thank the good Lord that Kyle Busch will not be participating in the series anymore. I think he has one more somewhere in the books. I don't know where that's going to be. That could be the next time the trucks return to action in over a month, next month in Dover. But yet another dominating performance by this guy, Kyle Busch. What else do you expect from the guy? Since racking up win number 200, he just keep pushing and pushing on. Up, he just carries on. Yet another win. Check that off the list here in Texas. Well, not we're not in Texas, but down south in Texas, where he led 97 laps en route to win number 4 in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, and he has won in all of his appearances thus far. Well, you can probably already tell, even for those of you who are very new to listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's just run down the top 10, starting in 10th. Y'all know the winner is Kyle Busch, won stage number 2, and some strange appearance from some guy that we used to watch in the Cup Series. I'll get to that here in a few minutes. Big D is chuckling behind the glass back there. Ben Rhodes off that runner-up finish at Martinsville, your 10th place finisher there. Brendan Poole, great run for that 30 truck in 9th spot. Then you have some names up here that you don't see very often, like Tyler Dipple in that 02 truck, finished in the 8th spot. Great job for him. Obviously, Ross Chastain, this is a name that you should be familiar with by now. Obviously, it's going to mix it up with them veteran guys. And Kyle Busch, yet another top 10 finish for that 45 truck in there in the 7th spot. Remember, Ross Chastain won stage 2 last week at Martinsville, and then a great effort by the 17 truck of Tyler Ankrum in 6. This guy, I was paying attention to him throughout the second half of the race, he was running somewhere in this 8th to 10th position there, and obviously moved up a couple of spots there. And towards the end of the race, great run for Ingram in the 6th spot. And then you got the veteran Matt Crafton there in the 5th spot right there. Another solid run for that 88 truck. And your pole sitter and your winner of Stage 1, Grant Enfinger, continues to be strong on mile halves. That's that 98 truck over there for ThorSport. And a quiet 3rd for Johnny Sauter. Struggled out of the gate in this one. You expected for Sauter and that 13 truck to battle it out with Kyle Busch there, but this was a very quiet effort for that 13 truck there. Wasn't really a factor much of the night, but still, somehow, at the end of the race, where you find Johnny Sauter? Right there in the top 5 in 3rd spot there, and the guy that battled Kyle Busch Friday night. This guy's going to get a win at some point, and you can throw him in anywhere of the week here. Stuart Friesen in this 52 truck. I considered him for the pick of Lap Track Fantasy, but I did not go with him. More on that later on in the 3Y show here tonight. Stuart Friesen, great run. At one point, he closed the gap on Kyle Busch to a couple car lengths. But at the end, Kyle Busch was just too much. But a shout out there to the 52 truck there. Still winless in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. But he's been close numerous times, especially though at this racetrack. Stuart Friesen, your runner up there in the Vancouver 350. And obviously, we already talked about Kyle Busch in this one. But, you know, for every win on the flip side, you flip the coin, and Kyle Busch's employees had some issues early in this one. Obviously, the first couple of laps, or really the first maybe 25 laps, was a rocky start for, obviously, Kyle Busch Motorsports. Harrison Burton getting loose in turns between 1 and 2 there, hit the wall hard. That was the common theme of the entire weekend. Obviously, with that repaved surface out down there in Texas, you get outside the preferred lane, even though the tire dragon that we're going to call for the first time this year on the podcast made the appearance down there at Texas. They wanted better side-by-side racing there, and we saw it here and there throughout the weekend, folks. But you got outside that black, you're going to go up against the wall, or possibly more times than not hit it. Harrison Burton finished deep in the field. Ty Gillen also hit the wall as well. He finished Riley back to finish in the top 15, while his teammate Harrison Burton, who we're going to talk about here when we get to the Xfinity Series side, Harrison Burton finished in the 31st spot right there for Kyle Busch Motorsports. We turn our attention to the standings that I mentioned here real quick. The next time we see the Gainer Outdoor fellas, next month at Dover, the Monster Mile, May 3rd. Turn our attention to the standings here real quick here. Stuart Friesen, still your leader by 6 over Grant Enfinger. Ben Rhodes sitting there in the 3rd spot. Johnny Sauter is 4th. And Brett Moffitt, your defending Gainer Outdoor Truck Series champ, sitting there in the 5th position right there. Before we transition in the Xfinity Series, I mentioned there's an old familiar face that made the appearance. And I have mentioned this guy here a couple times out of random here in the past on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. That is Greg Biffle. I was like, whoa, where did this guy come from? And how did this guy end up in Texas anyways? I don't know how in the world he ended up there anyways. But the last time I saw this dude was not virtually seeing him, but saw him on the Twitter. They're taking pictures of some random fan over in Washington. He was doing fishing. That was the last time we seen him made a social appearance. Well, he made a physical appearance at Texas. And I guess Kyle Busch was looking for some bodies, obviously. We knew he was running all 3 series down there. I don't know why he called up Greg Biffle. He might have said, well, I couldn't make it. Well, Greg Biffle did turn some laps there any opening practice there for the Gannett Outdoor Truck Series race down there. But I just felt that was kind of strange to see him. And he also talked for the media for a few minutes there down there. But that was, for in my opinion, very strange to see him. This is a guy that is out of his prime. And for whatever reason, it was around that vicinity. Obviously, Kyle Busch probably needed a hand. And I don't know, because that was just random to see him all of a sudden show up there. And for a moment there, I thought, you know, Greg Bevel was going to turn some laps in the 51 there for some of the weekend there. But apparently, Kyle Busch must have wanted him to at least, for whatever, that's the first for me, see him get in a truck and turn some laps there in that truck before Kyle Busch even got in it. But apparently, yeah, so Greg Biffle obviously been missing in action for the last, few years, Big D? And we saw him last year, toward the end of last year, during the off-season, we saw the picture of him he posted on social media, him out there, was on a fishing trip or whatever, and some random fella, fan, wanted to get a picture of Greg Biffle. That's the last time we talked about him through the off season, and now he shows up again. So since then, he's been really irrelevant in the 3 series. So I mean, yeah, like he said, you know, old he's got to be in his 50s somewhere. I don't know how old he is now, but yeah, kind of weird to see him down there and get hop in a vehicle down there. So yeah, you mean, I don't know if he's out of his prime, and I'm not gonna say he's still got it, because yeah, you just turn a few laps in that truck right there. That's just some random rant that I wanna get off a little bit there. Why was Greg Biffle in that car? I have no idea why, but anyways, he helped, I guess, helped Kyle Busch win in some sort of fashion. You know, Kyle Busch, we already know. You know, we talk about it every week on his podcast. All the podcasts, for that matter. Kyle Busch is one of the best. And I guess Kyle Busch wanted a second hand or whatever the case that was for Greg Biffle. You're listening to the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Moving on, turn that page over to the Xfinity Series, where again, same common denominator. Like I mentioned here at start, Kyle Busch in the IK918 Toyota for Tojo Gives Racing once again wins another race in the Xfinity Series. How many is that? I believe that's number 90. That's got to be number 96 in here somewhere, 95 or 96. I cannot believe I don't have this written down in here somewhere. But yeah, Kyle Busch in here was, to me, in my opinion, third fiddle to Tyler Reddick and Chrissy Bell in the mix. I'm going to get to something I want to talk about again here in just a moment here. But Kyle Busch yet again wins again. And because you can thank the pit crew in solid execution in the fourth quarter, final pit stop, set up by a caution by a car late in this race. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head what happened with the car. I believe it was stalling or somewhere in that case. But anyways, though, Christopher Bell leading the most laps in this race to what the Fox broadcast booth, Adam Alexander, Austin Dillon, and Kevin Harvick gave Tyler Reddick the nickname of T-Red. So I guess we're apparently adding him into the mix now of so-called nicknames. Obviously, my nickname is EG3. We're going to call this cat T-Red, C-Bell, out to the mix. I've been calling C-Bell, so I haven't heard many people say that. So they stole that one from me. But anyways, Christopher Bell had the fastest car. And maybe, yeah, Tyler Reddick was right there in the hunt most of this race. Reddick and Bell were fiercely battling out. Great racing up front. And Kyle Busch, once again, somehow, folks, stole the show and ran away from Tyler Reddick at the end of this race. And I want to say it's win 96. I might be wrong, but Anyways, he's in the mid-90s anyway, so I got that on point. But the problem is here, in this case here, Christopher Bell, your Stage Wood winner, and yeah, he considers, well, I guess the Fox broadcast booth considered that as his home tribe, because yeah, he's from Oklahoma, and yeah, you're damn right, he should be pissed, because that race right there was there for the taking, and instead, and really though, this was about to come down to, well, we have not seen here much here, going back to really last year, is the few strategy game, Big D. This was going to play out as you had, who was it that was, okay, so you had, I believe it was, I know Jeffrey Earnhardt was in this discussion. Cass Grala made an appearance in the Xfinity Series. He did a great job up until contact with the turn two wall late in this race. He was in the conversation there. Chase Briscoe was heavily in the conversation to as well. Either it was to make it on few or, oh yeah, it was Chase Briscoe and Cass Grala. They were the really, the players in this one, if this thing would have went green, the distance, they were in a catbird seat, and particularly, really, Chase Briscoe, because he's the first one up here in the running order here, and oh, by the way, another top 10 finish for that 98. Y'all better pay attention now. I'm telling you now, that 98, look out. But anyways, yeah, Cass Grala, that was unfortunate there, contact there. Some highlights from those guys, but you know, when you look at the finishing orders, top 15, and really when you go back to stage two, I mean, this was a theme throughout the weekend, especially when you got to the Xfinity race and the cut race, which we'll obviously talk about. You're gonna hear it from a clip from Jeff Burton, Steve Letarte, and Dale Jarrett, track position. It seems like a theme that's been going on. And really, through the last several years, y'all should know this by now. For those of you who don't, track position is always going to be key in any race, especially really this year with this quote-unquote new package that we've been talking about all year to this point. And so you had that to play out as well. We saw comers and goers, but really, stage two, really, I think was huge for several people, but one in particular, and I have called him out on the 3Y NASCAR podcast, Ryan Sieg, winner of stage two, staying out there, and he right now, he's going to be one of those guys in the mix to fight for a playoff position here as we get later on down in the summer months and eventually into the fall. But Ryan Sieg, Ross Chastain both stayed out toward the end of stage two. And Ryan Sieg checked out. He had older tires than a lot of the guys that had pitted at that time. And he just ran with the show. I mean, he's been running. I'm telling you, he's been running in the top 10. This is not the first time. This is not some show-up dude. And we've been talking about him a lot on this podcast. He ran in the top 10 in Vegas. And again, he shows up here. And I was looking at stats for Bristol, he's right up in, his average finish is somewhere in the top dozen, around 11th to 12th place or whatever, so this guy is getting it done, and I called him a restricted plate ace a year and a half ago or so, because he knows how to find his way up to the front of these things. Well, you better pay attention to this guy, because the 39 Ryan Sieg, he is getting it done right now, and that team should get a pats on the back for them for their hard work. This is one of the dudes that is underfunded team, really, for the last several years. Those of you who don't know, one of the more underfunded stories, and really, I think, under the radar, in my opinion, other than Chase Briscoe, he's getting that done. Winning his first career stage in his Xfinity Series career, that's how you get it done right there. Ryan Sieg, stage two winner, and you want to back up to the day Christopher Bell had for a moment. Christopher Bell won stage one, or as I call him, C Bell, still winner stage one, and then he and Brandon Jones had issues, got penalized off of pit road, I believe for either coming in speeding or too many men over the wall, something like that. But anyways, regardless though, they were penalized anyways. And they had to come back through the field. Unfortunately for Brandon Jones, he and Cole Custer got involved in a wreck towards the end of this race. Cole Custer and Brandon Jones were running, Big D, inside the top 10. And I believe Brandon Jones got loose, took Cole Custer with him, and that was a wrap for those guys over there. That's an unfortunate situation for them. But other than that, though, this race was going to go down to a few strategy game, and it looked like to me Chase Briscoe was far ahead Cass Grala, and Kevin Harvick put it perfectly on the Fox broadcast, saying that you got to learn these things. Yes, they're not the cut regulars, but these guys are young, and they got to start learning how to use safe fuel. And that's what, you know, it's funny when you start talking about it, crew chief hops on for Cass Grala saying, you got to start lifting. So it's a maturity process in that, but, you know, at least for those, well, for Cass Grala, unfortunate for him, though, that this thing did not go the distance, because he, like I said, made contact with the wall, and his race was over your top 10. Well, the guy I just talked about, Ryan Sieg, winner of Stage 2, another strong performance from that 39 Chevy. John Hunter finished 9th. Jeffrey Earnhardt, we have seen him in the 18 here in his appearances so far in the 19 campaign. Well, he was in the 81 and he did a fine job once again. You find the other Earnhardt in the 8th spot. Justin Haley, a quiet 7th for him. Nice job in the number 11 car. And, you know, how about Michael Annette? Even after the win at Daytona, I had my doubts, you know, after a win like that, you know, because how consistent can he be after that? Well, he's been putting down some strong performances in that one car, and he's proven that he's going to go out here and be competitive, and he's done a much, much better job here. And I give full kudos to that whole Tire 1 team for a job well done. And the driver, Michael Annette, continues to put down top 10s and top 10s every week. 6 for Michael Annette. Jeb Burton, this guy got the 3rd, and I thought for a moment when Reddick and Bell were going after each other for the lead, Jeb Burton was going to slip in there and get jiggy with it for the race lead. But Jeb Burton, nice job, Ward's son, getting it done. A top 5 in an 8 car for Junior Motorsports. Well done. Chase Briscoe, I mentioned him, 4th. Christopher Bell, aka C Bell, very dejected, or I should say pissed off, after not getting the win. Even Kyle Busch mentioned it in his post-race interview that Christopher Bell should have won this race, but Kyle Busch took it away from him there. Tyler Reddick, he and Christopher Bell, they have been the strong horses, the lead horses so far in the Xfinity Series to this point, and they also are in the Dash for Cass side race there as well. I'll get to that here in a second here. And of course, I talked about Kyle Busch already, your race winner in this race. But back to Seabell, 127 laps in this race. The My Bartrick Solutions 300. That time I didn't screw it up. I might have butchered it anyways, but it is what it is. But Christopher Bell, 127 laps. Stage 1 winner, had in the battle back from a pit road penalty, leading the race there, up into the final caution, and you get beat off a pit road. That's how the common thing we have seen in these races, especially go back to Martinsville in the cup race, the 2-car beating the 9 out of pit road, is settled there, and eventually your winner, Brad Keselowski, same thing here in the Xfinity race last Saturday. Christian Bell leading down pit road, and then Kyle Busch beats him off. Why? Fuel execution, and they didn't even take tires on top of that. I haven't even mentioned that. So Kyle Busch, the 18 Toyota, did not take tires, while Christian Bell, I think, took 2 tires there, and that was the difference in this race right there. So disappointment for Christian Bell, and he will look forward to Bristol this weekend. And speaking of which, the Dash for Cash opener was this past weekend. And you're four going in to the Bristol next week, or I should say this week rather, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, and Michael Annette, your top four regulars, had to be involved. They're your top four heading into Bristol. And you remember the last year, Dash for Cash race at Bristol, Ryan Preece won that. So we'll see if one of the regulars can take it home or somebody else do it. So definitely the 2 and the 20, definitely your lead horses in the Xfinity Series. And one guy I have not mentioned in here who had a terrific year last year, he seems to be off his A game here this year to start the season. That, my friends, Big D, is the 7 car, Justin Allgaier. He's had some bad luck. Yes, he's had some bad luck early this year in the Xfinity Series campaign. But this is team, I mean, right now, you want to look at it right now? I got to say this one car, Annette, and maybe second fiddle, just barely, is the 8 car, which has had Jeb Burton in it, Preece in this car, oh man, Ryan Truex in this car, and probably one more other car. One more, I want to say Chase Elliott, but I might be wrong about that. But that car has had multiple drivers in it, and right now, I got to say the one car right now, just a little bit over the 8 car, is the lead dog right now for Junior Motorsports. I don't know what's happened to Allgaier. You expected Justin Allgaier to be right up there in the mix each week, especially with the Tyler Reddicks and C Bells. I don't think this, and maybe this is a far-fetched out of left field, I don't think this team's recovered from last year not getting into the championship four race at Homestead. Yeah, you're saying, wow, behind the screen, Big D, and I just go out of limb. I'm not afraid to do that on through our NASCAR podcast. Thanks for tuning in tonight on the post-race reaction edition of Texas, where all three divisions competed over the weekend, breaking it down right here in Manhattan, Kansas. But I will say this right now. Yeah, yes, he has the luck, bad luck, especially during the West Coast swing there. But Allgaier, I suspected him to be up there mixing up at least in the top five. He has not done that. And you're going to one of your better tracks at Bristol. And we'll see. I mean, I think they're a step behind the one car. Yeah, I said it. The one car in the 8 car right now. And Noah Gregson was up there. So, Noah Gregson right now, to me, he's still the anchor of that team right now. I'm not, no comment yet. Yes, he's had some good performances early in his first full-time year in the Xfinity Series for Noah Gregson. But I'm not going to put him in front of Justin Allgaier. Not yet. Anyway, but Allgaier, yeah, he's been very, very quiet and, you know, hasn't shown the strength that he did last year in last year's performance. So that's how far I'm going to take that. You'll see the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Take a look right here at your top five in standings here. Tyler Reddick, a.k.a. T-Red, your points leader, going into Bristol this weekend. Christopher Bell behind Moretic by 12. Cole Custer taking a huge hit after winning at California. Third, Michael Annette has moved up to the fourth spot. And Austin Cindric is fifth right here. Your top five position. Next time, we've been kind of been talking about it already. We see the Xfinity guys on Saturday, the Alsco 300 at Bristol. Going back short track racing, the Dash for Cash series continues there, where Seabell, T-Red, Briscoe, and Michael Ant will duke it out to see who will lead that bunch to win that section of the money of the Dash for Cash in the Xfinity series. We'll take an intermission here in a minute. Before I do that, we're going to take our car off the racetrack here for a minute or two here, and I have a special dedication tonight here before we turn over to break, and I want to dedicate this episode here to dear friends of ours who went through a terrible tragedy over the weekend. We've come great. Well, they're involved with our small group, losing their, which would have been their second child in the family there. So we dedicate, I tonight dedicate this episode to the child. So we keep them. I would encourage you to keep them in prayers. They lost their, well, which would have been their second child over the weekend, and I'm not going to get into all the details. I know the details now. I'm not going to share them because it's not appropriate. But I would encourage everyone to keep them in your prayers. Corey, their names are Corey Maria Childs, and they have my wife said it was a 1.5-year-old. I believe. Was Haley? I actually know this, but they have a 1.5-year-old named Haley as well. We're going to go over to the place on Saturday after I get back from Abilene on Saturday for a 10K race over there, out west over there. So we're going to check on them a little bit and give them some food. Yeah, they, you know, I'm not a parent yet, but. You mean this is even hard for me to explain everything, and I just can't fathom. I mean, yeah, me and my wife we have had our rough battles with this, you know, particular thing right here. But you know, it's definitely hard when I can't describe, you know, what they're currently going through right now. And just our entire church has, you know, stepped up, and kudos to our church. You know, this is what church body is. This is what it's all about right here. You know, standing behind one another in times of need. And that's what this country is all about. And our church is a perfect kind of a small bit of indication of what it's all about, being behind one another in times of trouble. Even, you know, we talk about the good times. Everybody loves the good times. But it's the times of struggle and rough times that you find out who you can lean on at times of need. And your church family is one. Obviously, your family is going to be right there, side by side, every step of the way. Your highs, your lows, your struggle battles, whatever it is that y'all going through, that, my friends, is what it's all about. And a perfect example, or a small little bit, is our church have really stepped up. And this hasn't been, even with the huge loss that they're going, the big loss they're going through, the church has gone through some recent losses as well. So that hasn't been fun. And you know, I've been thinking about it, and maybe I'm gonna go on my soapbox here on one driver here in a little while. But you know, this is time of need. We gotta stand up, back each other up, and I'm just in awe about the support that we have given Corey, Maria, and Haley. So definitely, you know, I just sit, stand back sometimes and say, wow, you know, I know I'm going off the rails. I'm sorry. I apologize offhand, but wow, Big D, you jumped the gun already. But anyways, you know, I know about sports community, but this right here, this is, you know, I didn't know about any other community until coming out here to Kansas, you know. It's just, sports is one thing. Yeah, we want to escape that and whatnot. And I found out real quickly that, you know, yes, you know, sports, your team is your other family. You got to have something other than that. And church family is another thing. And just to see the outpouring love is, wow. I'm just in awe and grateful to be back. Me and my wife be back at the Manhattan Church of Christ. Shout out for what they've done. Big churches, you might see us here and there a little bit, but that's kind of hard to get at a huge congregation, where in a small congregation, you can get that, whether it's celebrating the good times or celebrating the difficult times in your life. So tonight, I have dedicated this episode. Yeah, they're not NASCAR fans, so they might not listen to it. But I'm going to do it anyways. From bottom of my heart, episode belongs to Childs, and the name of the baby was Taylor. So I know she's up in a better place. This one's for you, Corey, Maria, Haley. This one's for you. We're back to the 3Y NASCAR podcast after this.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Wild EG3 is back on the AOS. EG3 here with you guys. We're talking about nicknames T-Red, C-Bell, EG3, aka Eddie Greer III, here for another post-race reaction edition of the podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR and Big D. We might be cutting it a little close, which I just checked the battery. Hopefully it lasts throughout this podcast. We'll see what happens here. And we're just going to go through it and see what happens. Hopefully we can finish it here with the battery got here on the scope here. But yeah, turn the page over to the Cup Series. Denny Hamlin, even after two miscues on pit road, the king of pit road of pit road miscues in the Cup Series, somehow, some way, found a way to win the race at Texas on Sunday. Unbelievable. I did not watch the last fourth of the race. We had a small group going on, but unbelievable. And the same thing happened. And we'll get to the NBC boys here in a few minutes here. But Hamlin, once again, Chris Gabehart, Denny Hamlin, the championship watch is on. He mentioned 5 wins in the championship. Well, he's got 2 of them now in the books. In the Penske, Jokic racing battle continues here in 2019. And Penske, Big D, had issues in this race. Mechanical issues. 1 week, you're on top of the mountain. The next week, you're dealing with mechanical issues. All start with Brad Keselowski, your recent winner from Martinsville, having some kind of problem after coming on pit road, trying to leave his pit box, and all of a sudden, something went missing. Joey Logano had hood issues. He has struggled in the last 2 weeks here, uncharacteristically, but Logano was a player for most of this race there until that happened there. And then Ryan Blaney, yet again. Ryan Blaney, the story of the year so far, at least for him. Strong, creeping up front, leading laps. And Ryan Blaney, once again, folks, for those of you who don't know, has not won a race. Logano and Keselowski have. Keselowski has won 2 of these things. Blaney has been so strong and cannot get it done because mechanical issues hampered him once again. Oh, you just gotta feel bad for the dude. But big thing here is Denny Hamlin robs Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch apparently had contact late with the wall, and he was in the top five, or he didn't have the best car in this race, obviously. That, I believe, went to Ryan Blaney in this race here. But also, you got to give kudos to a lot of these players. That Daniel Suarez, we saw Daniel Suarez up front for majority of the race. So that 41 is getting stronger here as we get into April. And it is a lot happened in this race. You had trap position again, played a factor. But Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, they already have a win in the belt. And they got it done once again, adding to the stage points, which I do not have up on the list right now. I think we might be okay, Big D, here. So I'm keeping an eye on it as we get deeper into this podcast. Thanks for tuning in to Throughout NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Denny Hamlin, your winner in this one. Denny Hamlin, oh, by the way, won stage two. And Denny Hamlin tried to give this away multiple times in this one. I don't know how in the world Denny Hamlin overcame these penalties. Usually what happens is he gets these penalties, he can't come back to the front of the field. But somehow this year, I'm just getting this vibe that Denny Hamlin is determined to win races. Well, obviously he's going to win races. He's won two of these things already. But not only that, but somehow get himself to the championship four. Because next year, obviously, I talked about it in the bonus episode, which was recorded yesterday. That will be up this week as well, talking about the 2020 schedule. Next year's schedule is going to be off the hook. But yeah, this is your last chance right here to get it done. Denny Hamlin's got his window is still open to get it done. He's one of the best drivers in the business. And I made a laughing emoji, one of my favorite emojis, if not my favorite, is the laughing crying emoji. Denny Hamlin tried to give this race away, but apparently he did not. And Clint Boyer was trying to run him down towards the end. Boyer comes up short. And while I'm thinking about Boyer, we're going to say the qualifying episode saga part two for the very end of tonight's podcast. So save that on the back end. But yeah, I could go on and on, but we're keeping an eye on this battery here. So if this does cut out, we're gonna have to do part two, finish it up. But let's just go right on through the rundown sheet here real quick. Kyle Larson tagged the wall once again. Kyle Larson shotgun in this race right here, the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 yet again. So not good look for him. Timmy Hill, 38th. Ryan Blaney, leading 45 laps and overheating issues, 37th. Brad Keselowski joins him down there, 36th. Bailey Curley, 35th. Reed Sorensen, 34th. Daniel Hemric, strong qualifier, can't get it done in race time, 33rd. Garrett Smith, lead 32nd. BJ McCloy, 31st. Landon Castle, 30th. Ross Chastain, 29th. Corey LaJoie, 28th. Parker Kligerman in the 96 over the weekend, 27th. Matt DiBenedetto, 26th. David Ragan finished 25th. Teammate to Matt Tiff finished in the 24th spot. Bubba Wallace finished in the 23rd spot. Ryan Preece, 22nd. Ty Dillon, 21st. Chris Buescher in the 20th position. Paul Menard, 19th. Alex Bowman, who had an adventurous weekend, backup car, crashed in qualifying, 18th. Your stage one winner was Joey Logano there, having hood issues, finished in his 17th spot. So back to back, uncharacteristic top 20s for Logano, your reigning champ. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 16th. How about front row lead man Michael McDowell? Top 15 for him in this one. Austin Dillon, 14th. Chase Elliott, 13th. Martin Truex Jr. finished in the 12th position. Ryan Newman, who was a player in the top 10 through some of this event, finished in the 11th position. Your top 10 finishers for this race: Kyle Busch's second try at trying to sweep, denied, hit the wall late in this one. Finished in the 10th spot, and he led 66 laps in this one, despite having some issues with that race car. Brother Kurt in a nice spot there. Another top 10 for him. Kevin Harvick, quiet Texas race, finishing the 8th spot. Eric Almirola, flew systems and all, turns out to another top 10. That's 6 in a row for this 10. He knows how to put it down. I'm going to start calling him the Matt Kenseth of the Cup Series. 7th, William Byron. Start on the front row, 6. And how about the story? One of the stories coming out of the weekend. I have not said his name all night long until right now. Jimmy Johnson at 48, getting ready for that Boston Marathon. Jimmy Johnson, gotta give it to him, man. 60 laps led, strong, very strong. The Jimmy Johnson, and I texted somebody, a friend of mine, this quote. I said, I'm going back a little bit. This 48 is pretty damn strong. Strong indeed. He's going back this weekend to a place where his last one was at. Bristol, we're going to it. Well, I'm not going to it. The Cup Series, Xfinity Series is going to it. Jimmy Johnson, give it to him. 60 laps led pole. And Jimmy, in his own words, said, this is what we needed right here. To be back in the mix. Mix it up. Run top 5. And he's been heavily criticized on his podcast. I haven't sugarcoated it, but tonight, you gotta give this guy props. And really, you know, this guy has been hungry since the outset. Obviously, that win at the Clash, taking the field out. But this guy's hungry than usual. Maybe 3 times hungry to get himself back in victory lane. How about Erik Jones? Early spin. This is the second time this year that he did this at Daytona. And ironically, when he did finish 4th or 3rd or whatever it was, he finished 3rd at Daytona. Denny Hamlin won the race. Denny Hamlin wins this one. Where's Erik Jones finish? Top 5 off a spin. He spun like 3 times at Daytona and somehow came back to finish in the 3rd spot. 1, 2, 3 finish. Do it for JD. Hashtag do it for JD. Well, BD, you're laughing. Hey, I'm to myself like, how in the hell that this 20 car finish in the top and top 5 yet again. Erik Jones, give it to him. Matt Jones boy. Attaboy for him. Finished 4th. Daniel Suarez. This cat is flexing his muscles right now. 3rd. Suarez led 9 laps. Clint Bowyer. We're going to get to that qualifying segment here. Very short. Minute. That's a rant that I want to get off my chest a little bit. But Clint Bowyer trying to run down him at the end. 2nd. And again, all Stewart Haas cars for, I believe, the 2nd straight week inside the top 10. And we already set our winner, Denny Hamlin, in the 2nd spot. We're going to give it away now to the NBC fellas. Break it down. How did Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, pull it out?
It takes good strategy. It takes good execution. The 11 recovers from all of that. But in the end, if the 20, how do they know with 80 to go, staying out or not staying out, how much fuel in the tank? That's what eliminated the 20 of Erik Jones from winning, is purely how much fuel he had to take on that pit stop.
Well, sometimes you have to gamble to get track position right now. And maybe that hurts you later, but you get that track position, and maybe the cautions lay the way you want, where you never give it up. And those are decisions you have to make right then and there. You've been in that. We've sat in and been told.
Ball out trying to tell me what it's supposed to do.
We sat in the car, been told what to do, and saw what happened 100 laps later. You're the one who had to make those decisions. And you know, what I saw Sunday was that track position was king. And whatever you had to do to get track position at the right time of the race, which again may have been a gamble, may have been something that may not have worked out, but you had to try it right then and just hope you caught the caution
track. Well, I don't think it was a question if you could take no tires. The question was when. Yeah. I mean, they chose to even stay out. And after the race, actually, they asked Denny Hamlin's crew chief, Chris Gabehart, about taking no tires.
Was the no tire calls today, was that like a difficult decision to wrestle with, or was that a no-brainer?
Very difficult decision to wrestle with. That's what I'm going to say. But no, for our car and the performance and kind of everything we were seeing, it was very not necessarily track position oriented race, because we found a way to give that away a lot in the race. But minimum time on pit road and for our scenario each time, it just made the most sense. Unfortunately, it worked out.
Man, it warms my heart to hear a crew chief say minimum time on pit road. I think that's what we're looking at here. If you all went back to Daytona 500, we relived it on Monday. Denny Hamlin did a great job, but it was pit decisions in the middle section of that race that propelled that 11 to the front of the field, and Denny held, you know, control of the race. Much the same thing here. He didn't roll Denny under the bus for the speed, and it sounds like they might have actually had a gassing issue, you know, maybe out of gas, and then they had the uncontrolled tire, which can be debated, but the simple fact is they continue to work together. And more importantly, the crew chief keeps taking swings, right? He wasn't out of the game. Yeah. He always had a plan. They may not always work, but I love a crew chief with a plan.
Yeah, you got to have a plan. And Denny's sitting there driving the car, knows he's got a fast race car and ready to make the moves. The one thing that I watched and thought about yesterday as I'm watching this race was, yeah, you have a newer track surface at Texas. You don't have as many lanes, but you've got a track surface that put Goodyear in a place that they still had to have a harder tire. And you always wonder, you always hear that we need tires that wear. That's what makes the competition better. Well, I didn't see that. I saw this be very compelling in that the drivers had to do their job. They had to drive hard, but they also knew that at any second, that car could get away from them. On the other side of it, crew chiefs knew that there were gambles that they could take. So I think that's what made it so compelling and put different people in different positions to try to win this race.
With this package on high grip racetracks, you're going to see better races without tire fall off. Mm-hmm. And I know that goes against everything we've always thought. But
my brain just cramped when
correct.
You said it, actually.
But if you're trying to create a scenario where you can get a draft down the back straightaway or the front straightaway, you're trying to give the guy in second an advantage somewhere on the racetrack. If the tire fall off is so great, you lose so much more in the corner than you can gain back on the straightaway with the draft. That this package may not work with tire fall off. They don't go together.
Yep.
And that's out of the box thinking that you're going to have if you're going to try something that's completely different than it's ever been done. And I agree with you 100%. That was part of why this race was better. It was no tire fall off. And I'm going to get bad tweets and dirty emails about that conversation. But the proof's in the pudding. We saw more lead changes. We saw a closer race. We saw all that this weekend without the tire fall off. Again.
Jeff Burton, Steve Letarte, Dale Jarrett right there with further analysis. Yeah. So, yeah, they're right there, spot on. Track position once again in play. And yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole package and whatnot, because we are beginning to run low on time here tonight on the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. Thanks for tuning in tonight to this post-race action edition of Texas. Eddie Gritter III here with you guys. Big D, cross the glass. Real quick, I'm going to get this social media in real quick. Follow me at EG3_FastEddie. Again, follow me on Twitter at EG3_FastEddie. And as always, you can find the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Please subscribe if you have not done that already to the podcast. If you're new, please subscribe. Leave us a rating. And if you have time, leave us a review as well. So we do that so we can get better each and every week here on the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast, where we love to do enjoy talking NASCAR with you guys out there. Again, join the movement. You do not want to miss a moment on the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast where something like Denny Hamlin doing a two-step at Texas, taking the win away there and hanging on at the end. Switching gears to the standings here. After Texas, Kyle Busch's lead has been shrunk in the regular season. Now Denny Hamlin is second, -8. Kevin Harvick now is third. Joey Logano fourth. And Eric Almirola there is your top five in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup standings. We head to Bristol this weekend. Cup Series again. That's the Bristol doubleheader weekend. Next time you'll be seeing these guys, Sunday, Food City 500 on FS1, not Fox. PRN has coverage on the airwaves there for you if you guys cannot listen to it or catch it on TV. FS1, not Fox, folks. 1 o'clock local time, 2 o'clock Eastern time in the Xfinity Series. Saturday, noon local time, the Alice Cole 300, and 1 o'clock Eastern time. Your Fab Five, they're going into Bristol here. Taking Matt Kenseth out of the list here. Kyle Larson leads it in averages. This is going back to back to 2017. Big D has it up here on the screen. Jimmy Johnson, oh, keep an eye on him. I believe that momentum is going to carry in here. Alex Bowman, his name is in here up on this list here. Average 6.5. Kevin Harvick, average finish of 7th. And you have Joey Logano in here in average finish of about 8. But let's not forget about Hamlin. Pretty good. Clint Bowyer, down here, Eric Jones, pretty good around here. Stenhouse, some of these guys. Stenhouse going to be sneaky, I believe, this weekend in here somewhere. As far as I've seen, he's gotten around real good. He knows around this package. So I think he's going to be really good this weekend. Kyle Busch is, going to be good. So definitely Chase Elliott. So those guys on the watch this weekend. Bristol, it's going to be something. I mean, last time we're on a short track, Brad Keselowski put the field to sleep there with his 446th lap performance en route to a beatdown at Martinsville. What's going to happen in the bull ring this weekend? Got to turn to FS1 to find out. We'll see what happens there. I expect a lot of activity, as usual, in Tennessee. All right, folks, ladies and gentlemen, now turn our attention to the EG3 Hummus stickers here of the weekend. And I'm handing mine out to Stuart Friesen, EG3 Hummus sticker. Tyler Ingram, EG3 Hummus sticker. Brandon Pohl also gets one from the trucks. For the Xfinity, Jeb Burton, EG3 Hummus sticker. Ryan Sieg, another EG3 Hummus sticker here in 2019. And how about this guy? I'm going to give it to Josh Williams, finishing the top 15 in the 14th position. How about that? Those are the feel-good stories right there. Coming from the Xfinity Series. I talked about it in the first half of the podcast tonight. Had some feel-good stories right there. Jeb Burton putting down good effort here. But Josh Williams, 14th place finish. EG3 Hummus sticker. And then William Byron. I got William Byron handing one to him. And I obviously gave one to Eric Jones. Another rebounding top 5 finish. And my last one, at least for me this week, goes to Daniel Suarez, finishing the third. And he is starting to get some confidence. And that communication with, oh man, I can't remember his first name off the top of my head right now. Dang it. But it's something Scott. I can't remember his first name. I can't even believe I blanked out. But anyways, though, I bet you'll come back to me about any of this show. But anyways, though, he and the crew chief, Billy Scott. Oh, there it is. I got it. Billy Scott are getting that communication on tap. Daniel Suarez, EG3 Hummus sticker. And Big D's honorable mention texted me last night, actually. He gave his to Jimmy Johnson, leading 60 laps and having really a strong car throughout the weekend. EG3 Hummus stickers of the week. William Byron, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, Josh Williams, Jeb Burton, Ryan Sieg, Brendan Pohl, Tyler Ingram, Stuart Friesen, and Jimmy Johnson. Your EG3 Hummus stickers of the week. And for the listeners, the favorite segment of this podcast, EG3 Hummus stickers of the week. Real quick here, lap track fantasy. Hey, give a all right. Yes, sir. Plus, we have moved, finally starting to creep out of the basement. +5 out of the basement. +5 positions up, and scored my first 100 point of the year. This is what I'm starting to try to figure out a little bit. I had Austin Hill, and he had a top 10 truck until he had his issues there, unfortunately. But if it was for that, we'd have had more points. But that's how Austin Hill right there, that's been the sentiment of this first stage of Lap Track Fantasy. If you're wondering why I'm talking about that, because Brandon Crowd, the host of the Lap Traffic podcast, a great listen to, by the way, y'all should check that out also, along with the Loose Lux podcast, the PETM podcast, the MOATF podcast, a lot of podcasts that I'm a part of, the family, the NASCAR family of podcasts. I'm very grateful to be associated with that bunch. Very thankful for that. But yeah, Brandon Crowd on his show hosts Lap Track Fantasy, so that's why you pick your three drivers or two drivers or whatever that weekend who you think is going to score a lot of points for you. So that's kind of a gist of it there. But Austin Hill finished, if you want to scroll back, Big D, real quick to what I had up here this weekend. There you go. So Austin Hill finished 27th there at Texas. My pick, Christopher Bell, C-Bell, finished third there, had a chance to win the thing, and did not. But good performance there, and Kyle Busch right there, top 10 there, after tagging the wall right there. I was worried there for a second there, but scored a whopping awesome 103 points right there, a possible 180 right there for the weekend. So that was huge right there for me. I needed that. That was the goal. We got it. So head to Bristol with some momentum there. Hopefully we can continue to improve to try to get something accomplished here. At least try to get ourselves a little bit up there before stage two rolls along. You're listening to the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3 real quick. Before I'm going to roll through this real quick, though. News coming out of the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. Austin Wayne Self, I probably will save this to next week. The 100th episode, oh, by the way, next week. I can't wait for that. Austin Wayne Self has been suspended indefinitely for failing the substance abuse policy of NASCAR, a la Spencer Gallagher last year. So that's a big disappointment for him. But the team, who have seen Bubba Wallace in that 22 truck for the last couple weeks, expects Austin Wayne Self to be back in this race truck. We'll have to see about that when he gets when his suspension is up. And Harrison Burton expected to be making his appearance in the Xfinity Series race at Bristol, making his Bristol debut this weekend. So we saw Jet Burton, the sibling, or I should say War Burton's son, they're making some huge strides there. And now we're seeing Jeff Burton's son, obviously, for those of you who don't know. This is Jeff Burton's son, Harrison, who's made big-time waves. And oh, by the way, Harrison Burton, for those of you who did not pay attention or who have forgot, won the ARCA race at Daytona this year. We're going to see Harrison Burton in that 18 for Joe Gibbs this weekend in the Xfinity Series. All right, finally, qualifying set saga continued over the weekend. This is the last thing. We'll wrap up with this tonight here on the EG3 Free Wide Podcast. Qualifying saga. Clint Bowyer pissed off, and he had a right to be, because Ryan Newman got out of the way after the fact that, yes, we have had so many issues with this thing that I am begging NASCAR, please go back to that single car qualifying. And before we hopped on in tonight for the podcast, I read something about, you know, NASCAR is considering, and this was the last resort for NASCAR, but after the fact, after hopping on in here, they are, to just to summarize it here real quick, they are considering putting single car qualifying on the table. They should, I mean, this is just getting too much for this draft that's waiting to the last minute. Now, I don't expect this to be a factor, obviously, in the bull ring of Bristol here this weekend, obviously. But this has to be nipped in the bud before this gets out of hand. This is just too much of an issue that we're dealing with. We're dealing with people not making it back to the line. You know my stance on that. I explained that a couple weeks ago. I was not happy about that. No excuse. I don't care. If you can't blame it on the system. You know the situation at hand, and I could go off the rails with it, but I'm not. At this point, y'all know my feelings about that situation. And then you got Clint Bowyer trying to get out of line, and could not do that because the Ryan Newman, the back end, sticks out, is a little bit in the way. Clint Bowyer couldn't make a qualifying lap, obviously, there, and he was really pissed that he did not get out there. And then, and obviously, you know, guys playing these stupid ass mind games. Okay, whether we go or not, why not? It's just too much. Even with the NASCAR changing up the rules, saying, hey, you know, we're setting these type of boundaries, whatnot, everybody's still screwing it up. So let's just go back, in my opinion, to single car qualifying. You know, everybody, and I was listening to this, an episode real quick, and I can't remember who it was that said it, but no, it was on the Swapcast of MOATF and PETM that, you know, Rusty said it, and I agree with him 100%, saying that, you know, with single car qualifying, everybody, the sponsors get love, everybody gets a chance for TV time. He's spot on, and I fully agree with that. So go back to Sim Car Qualifying. I enjoyed Sim Car Qualifying. Yeah, people will say it's boring. Everybody has their opinions, but the vibe I'm getting from, oh, that's another thing I want to explain here real quick about the, that I'm going to go ahead and squeeze it in here real quick here while I have a few, just a couple of minutes here. You know, Martin Truex Jr., you know, this is, I'm going to put on my 19 cap for 1 minute here. You guys out here need to relax. Yeah, I pulled the Aaron Rodgers card. Relax. R-E-A-R-E-L-A-K. Oh, I'm tired. Relax. Bomb finance. Relax, people. You know, all this, you know, complaining, you know, yes. This is kind of a, like a intermission break from the qualifying round. But anyways, relax, people. You know, yes, the stat line might be a little ugly. We're not used to seeing that. But he's still getting top 10s. And that's all I've saw from, from some of my friends that are Martin Truex Jr. fans. Yes, I'm grateful to me to have met a lot of people that are Martin Truex Jr. fans. One, for social media, I wouldn't have the opportunity to do that. None of us would, okay? Either Kyle Busch fan, Kevin Hart fan, Ryan Blaney fan, Chase Elliott fan, so forth, right? But yes, you know, we all wish, even I'm putting myself in this mix, all right? I wish the 7-8 team was still here. They had so much success. But, you know, Joe Gibbs, you know, bumped up the prices and whatnot, and Barney Visser, Joe Garoni and crew, Denver team, they're gone. This is the current situation that we're dealing with right now. Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pern, they got to deal with it. They have to get accustomed to it. So, I mean, eventually, you know, Carl Edwards, somebody brought up the point on the Facebook group page of the Martin Truex Jr. Club that he did finish 12th over the weekend, but average finish of 10th. And he could have won Atlanta and should have won Atlanta and was on the bull on the horn late at ISM. So finished second there. So, I mean, this team's got speed, but they unloaded. They were off. Let's cut it to the chase. They're off this weekend and they got the defense they deserve. So they deserve that finish. So make the cars better. I mean, you're in the same stable. I'm not going to cut excuses for them. I mean, yes, you can throw all these conspiracy theories and whatnot. You know, we're a couple months into the season. I mean, yes, I mean, it sucks. We don't have the 7-8 anymore, okay? 19, yeah, I mean, they have shown signs here and there of speed throughout the season. So, I am going to say just relax, people. Carl Edwards, first year, he didn't win a race until the Coke 600, obviously, and then after that, Carl Edwards just took off. He challenged Kyle Busch, and I still believe, and I said at the beginning of the year, and I still stayed on my word, Martin Truex Jr. will still challenge Kyle Busch. Yeah. So once they get that first win out of the way, I think MTJ is going to take off, but yes, it's going to take some time. So I think just people, I'm putting myself in here, in the mix, everybody. Truex Nation, relax, man. It's going to come. We just got to give it some more time. I wouldn't press the panic button. That's all I'm saying. Back to the qualifying real quick here before we wrap it up. Hey, go back to seeing qualifying. It is more better for everybody. And yeah, it might be more for some people, for some of those broadcasters who made their point on social media. I'm not going to call them out. Not yet anyways. But hey, it's just better. We're just better off with the question called qualifying. I mean, this is just getting out of hand early, and somebody is going to get, it's going to get ugly if this type of behavior on a track, mind games, continue. Once again, Big D, let's break this down and get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Thank you for listening again. We'll let the jingle talk to itself, but man, this has been so much content, and I have enjoyed myself tonight. And folks, thank you once again for tuning in to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. That's a wrap for right now. Again, we'll have the bonus episode coming up as well. Be out on the lookout for that. And next week, the 100th episode of this podcast. Can't wait for that. And folks, stay tuned. We got a special announcement to make. Everything has been finalized. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.